Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Hope you all had a wonderful weekend. Hope you all are safe and staying warm and staying warm safely. You know, watch the space heaters, watch the fireplace, make sure you have all of that checked and everything. I recently invested in some hoodies that fortunately came in this weekend. I'm very happy about that in the nick of time. Anyway, thank you. I hope you are going to also participate in some of the stuff that's coming up. You know, Black History Month coming up starting next week, but also we got a couple of things coming up this week, including one of the things that we're going to talk about today, which is the Orlando Urban Film Festival. And it begins on Wednesday, along with something else that's coming up, and they're kind of doing some things in conjunction together. We have Mr. Jason Gregory that's going to talk about the film festival. Mr. Gregory, are you there?
Yes.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having me. I'm so honored to be on your show.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I am great. I'm great. I'm excited that this is festival week. This is kind of like our Super Bowl, and we're going from Wednesday through Saturday, but technically Sunday, because we have another event that we're actually pushing and sponsoring. So I'm very, very happy.
Well, I'm glad you had some time to spend with us. I know this is a big undertaking. So tell me, is this the first one here in Orlando?
No, we've had Orlando Film Festival. It's been going strong since 2013, and it was the vision of our founder, Marianne Eggleston, and she noticed that there was a lack of support for content creators of color, not just in Orlando in Florida, but, you know, just like, you know, other places around the country. I mean, really, you know, the biggest Black Film Festival that it's out there is is ABFF, you know, American Black Film Festival. But we needed something to support our homegrown filmmakers. So she came up with the vision, executed it, and here we are 9 years later.
Well, thank you for carrying on the torch. And so tell me, you have numerous days. How has this worked out? Are there different genres of urban film? You know, is it, you know, comedy, horror, you know, is it some throwbacks to, I guess, what was termed Blaxploitation days? Tell me a little bit about, you know, what we're featuring now.
Yeah, we have a little bit of everything. You know, opening night is Wednesday, January 26th, and it's going to, the festival will be held at the CMX 12 Plaza Cinema downtown. It's formerly known as the Cobb Theater. And we're going to open to two documentaries, fantastic documentaries. And our theme this year is Afrofuturism. We partnered with the International Arts and Humanities Festival, Zora Festival of Arts and Humanities. And their theme was also Afrofuturism. So we said, okay, well, let's partner together this year, you know, and just blow out the whole Afrofuturism genre. And so on opening night, we're going to see a BBC film called Dark Matter, The History of the Afrofuture. And then immediately following that, we're going to watch a film called, a documentary called Woman in Motion, and it's about Michelle Nichols, the woman who was Uhura on Star Trek.
Wow. You know, and it's funny because, you know, you don't have to necessarily be a so-called Trekkie to appreciate her role in you know, her making a mark for, you know, Black people in sci-fi and also just women in sci-fi as well. So, I mean, it's great that, you know, we're gonna you're gonna feature her. And so, tell me, how big of a thing is this? Are you taking up the entire? You said it's not Cobb anymore. You said it's CSX. Is that correct?
CM is in Mary X.
CMX, okay.
Plaza Cinema. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yes,
I was going to say, Wednesday through Friday, we're taking up one theater, but then on Saturdays, we're taking up two theaters because it's our goal to not only bring you films that are meaningful to our community, but also panel discussions. So in another auditorium, we're going to have panel discussions running from 11 a.m. to about 2:30. And the first panel discussion is going to be what I call the business of show, producing your own project. And that's a fun, you know, panel discussion where we bring together subject matter experts, producers, directors, and they talk to folks about what it's like to actually put a project together, you know, whether it's a documentary, whether it's a short, whether it's even a you know, TikTok content. And then immediately following that, we have another panel discussion called Health and Wellness in the Black Community, where, you know, when they say that if the general market gets a cold, the Black community gets a flu. So it's important for us to speak to our Black community and know what they can do to stay protected, not only physically, but also mentally. You know, this pandemic has taken a toll on our community, and we want to discuss mental health issues as well. And then finally, we have a panel called When Justice Becomes Injustice, and we have some heavy hitters on this panel. We have Desmond Mead, who is the founder of the Florida Rights Restoration Coalition. If you're not familiar with Desmond, he is the gentleman who led the fight for returning citizens to get their voting rights back. And then we also have congressional candidate, Attorney Natalie Jackson, joining us as well. And Natalie Jackson was one of the attorneys for the Trayvon Martin family. So we're bringing a lot to you, and we're really thankful for our presenting sponsor, Orlando Health. They understood the importance of this entire festival and got behind it and supported us.
That's awesome. That's really, really great. So now tell me, can you get a ticket for a single night, or can you get a ticket for the entire festival? How does that work?
Yeah, you can go to our website, OrlandoUFF.com, and as soon as you log on, there's a space at the top right where you can click on to say tickets, and you can get a you can get a one-day ticket, you know, to each what we call block, or you can get a festival pass that will get you, you know, access to everything, you know, from opening night to the closing gala.
You know, the one thing I was glad to hear that you were partnering with Zora, because we, you know, with so much, like I said, a lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff will be going on for the next month or so. And people get torn trying to, you know, they want to support a lot of different things, and they get torn trying to support this and support that. But by entities partnering together, it allows people to support multiple entities at the same time and not be torn and making a decision, do I, you know, do this versus that. So I really appreciate the fact that you combined and decided to work together on something that really will have a major impact. And I'm glad to hear more about the festival, because I had somebody on recently to talk about the film industry in Central Florida, well, in Florida in general, because at one time, you know, you kept hearing this Hollywood East moniker, and it was related to the Sunshine State. But now you don't really hear that much about the film industry in Florida like you used to. You know, it's Georgia, it's Louisiana, it's some other places. What? Give me your insight in terms of what's going on with the film industry here in Central Florida, and especially how it pertains to African Americans.
Yeah, good question. You know, once upon a time, you're right. We were supposed to be the Hollywood of the Southeast, and then all of a sudden, our film incentives got stripped. And we honestly have no idea why. You know, there's rumors that, you know, it's between, you know, it may be due to hospitality. They didn't want us to compete, you know, for the funds. But, you know, again, that's just conjecture. You know, I'm not sure if it's true or not. But, you know, we need those film incentives. And that's what has pushed Georgia to become the you know, the big entertainment world that it is right now. You know, they get a number of productions that come into, you know, that state. And, you know, and the state rewards them for bringing business. And I think with this pandemic here and everything kind of being reset, if we were able to get those film incentives, we would be able to kind of to rebuild our state. And, you know, especially Central Florida, you know, everywhere that you go in Florida, it could probably double for somewhere else within the United States. I mean, you go to Claremont, you know, it could double, you know, Claremont is different from, you know, from Tampa. Tampa is different from Miami and, you know, so many different areas throughout Florida that could be used for other cities or states.
Yeah, and we've had, as my earlier interview, we were talking about how other areas have been used for Florida, for Orlando.
Yeah.
I was talking about one movie I saw, Geostorm, I think it might have been, where they had this car chase scene through Orlando. I'm like, there's no way in the world that was occurring.
I saw that film, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And
I said,
so,
that is not Orlando.
So, no. I'm like, wait a minute. That's not Orlando. And so it's like, wait a minute. You know, why didn't they actually use Orlando? Why not take a day? They do this in other cities where they take a day or whatever, take a certain section of a highway or whatever and block it off, and they use that. Why not use local areas, and why not use local people and local talent? This is an area that really needs an influx of that type of income, you know, that and to have that type of economy stirred up, you know, especially with the cost of living going up here. People need other opportunities to make money in this area.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Now there are some film incentives in certain counties. I think Hillsborough County over in Tampa and I think Miami-Dade, they may offer incentives, but it's not the large state incentives that would help, you know, create and create the industry and help it thrive here. You know, there's me not being from Orlando, it's probably difficult for me to make this statement, but I'm going to say it anyway. Orlando doesn't really have an identity. If, you know, when people think of Orlando, they think of Mickey Mouse, they think of, you know, Disney, they think of Universal Studios, and that's pretty much it. But when you think of, think of Tampa, you think of Miami, you think of, you know, hot, the beach, you know, just, you know, great times, clubs, entertainment, you know, things like that. And we have one basketball town, you know, one basketball team here, you know, so, you know, yes, it's a sports town, but it's not a sports town like Tampa or Miami. You know, we're kind of caught in the middle. And I would love for Central Florida to become known as the film the film city of the state. This is where everything happens. It's a great commercial city, but not a great film city.
Right. We're going to take a quick break. We are here with Jason Gregory. He is president of the Orlando Urban Film Festival. This is G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. If you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. G's Power Hour. I never had it so good entertainment. We'll be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com. Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I've never had it so good entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Mr. Jason Gregory, who is president of the Orlando Urban Film Festival. The call-in number, if you have questions, is 516-387-1944. So let me ask you this, because we're going to get into some other stuff later, but talent, finding local talent or local talent wanting to be found, is that a difficult process here, and why? If it is, why?
No, there is such great talent here in Central Florida, or just in Florida in general, but they're looking for opportunity. I can't tell you, you know, how many times where, you know, there's a casting call for a project and people come out of the woodwork because they're hungry. They want that opportunity, and they're hoping that this might be the thing that really, you know, helps get them somewhere else, maybe to L.A. or to Atlanta. But, you know, speaking of Atlanta, we lose so many, you know, great talents to Atlanta because they're here building up their resume or they're real with commercial work, student work, or, you know, small projects that they say, okay, I've got a body of work now. Now I can go to Atlanta and hopefully I can land some other roles and then, you know, make my way over to L.A.
Yeah, you're right. I have because I have a cousin who is in theater, for example, and is studying down in South Florida. But, you know, I'm getting the sense that, you know, his sights are set outside of Florida in terms of making his career. I have another cousin who, you know, the family's based here, but, you know, he lives in Atlanta. And I think, you know, coming to Florida is not necessarily in his purview, you know, in his mind in terms mm-hmm. of making a career. So what needs to be done? And also, too, my other question is, what are the hurdles? Because I know people are thinking, okay, you have to be a member of the Screen Actors Guild, you know, and then I don't know how to be a member of the Screen Actors Guild. Other than that, what kind of opportunities are there? And, you know, I need to have the resume. I need to have screenshots. I need to have this, that, and the other. I think there may be some people who are interested, but they just don't know what to do.
Great questions, G. Great questions. I would first say, you know, again, start small, you know, develop your body of work. You know, you may have to do some, you know, some freebies. You may have to work in some student films in the very beginning of your career if this is what you want to do so that you can understand the process. It's not so much just understanding acting. It's understanding what you have to go through or what I call the business of show. You know, where you get in front of that camera and then there's wait time and then, you know, sometimes, you know, there isn't a budget to really pay you. But again, you want to, you know, start your reel so that you can try and have something to go somewhere else. You know, do a couple short, you know, student films. And we've got great universities here that offer those opportunities. You have UCF has a great film program, you know, which is where I came from. I got my MFA at UCF. And then Valencia has a great film program as well. And then you have other organizations out here like the Organization of Independent Filmmakers, where they're about 5,000 or 6,000 people deep on Facebook. And they get together and make about four or five different film challenges each year. And then when they come together to screen those films, you know, they pack out theaters. So that's another great opportunity for you to really develop yourself. And I've seen people, you know, start with no experience to years later, they're directing their own projects. So the opportunities are out there. You just have to look for them.
What about people who are, let's say, active in community theater or are in, you know, maybe the church play or something like that, or a school play or something like that? Can they make the transition from theater to film? Is it difficult? And what kind of things, distinguish a theater career from a film career, I guess, possibly?
You know, fantastic question. And I love theater people, because theater people, they can memorize a script and they'll have everything done.
Yep.
And you know, sometimes they project so much. They project their voice so much. Sometimes you have to dial them back and just say, okay, you don't have to give me as much because, you know, we're right here. But I love working with theater people. And the difference between theater and TV and film is that theater is more more tell than show, and then film and TV are more show than tell. You may not have as much dialogue in film and TV. You have more action. Show me, you know, why you're sad rather than telling me you're sad, you know, something like that. Whereas, you know, theater, it's really about, you know, the projection, you know, telling someone what's going on, the singing and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now, you know, once you, I guess, get started, you decide, you know, you're going to take these bit roles, you know, and start to put together your reel, so to speak. Where do you go from there? How do you know when it's time, I guess, to make the transition and say, I think it's time for me to get paid, you know, or basically not even that, just to know whether or not you have the quality or caliber of work where someone is willing to pay you. Do you have to put yourself out there? Will you get approached?
Yeah, I would say once you have a good body of work, you've done some student films, I'm trying to make sure I word this correctly. When you first start your first piece of work or your first pieces of work may not be your best.
Mm-hmm.
So you may not want to put those on your reel. But if they are really good, if you're dealing with a great director, then, yes, definitely add those to your reel, you know, because you want to show depth. You want to show something where, you know, maybe you did a comedy and then maybe you did a drama and then, you know, maybe, you know, you did a romantic comedy. You know, just show your range. And then at that point, start to look for an agent and a manager. And, you know, they will tell you when it's time for you to make that leap. They'll say there's nothing else for you to do here in Orlando. It's time for you to, you know, start looking for work in Atlanta. And they'll, you know, maybe recommend an agent for you in Atlanta, someone that they have a network with, or maybe out in L.A. And then you go and you start your grind there, and, you know, and you know, hopefully you can pick up some work.
Okay. And you mentioned a director. That's another thing, too, is people think that everything's in front of the camera, but it's not. There are opportunities to be had behind the camera, whether it's a producer or a director, or, you know, even if you don't necessarily want to do that, but, you know, you just want – or you want to just get yourself in the door, and you may want to be a stagehand of some sort or a production
yeah.
grip or whatever, you know, and I don't know all of the terms and everything like that. But, you know, there are opportunities to make your way in behind the scenes and make a career behind the scenes. A lot of the – for example, a lot of the awards during the Oscars are based on – cinematography, they're based on makeup and, you know, lighting and sounds and all that type of stuff. So it's a broad spectrum in terms of what you can engage in and be accomplished in the film industry.
Yeah, yeah, there are so many different positions from grip, the best boy, to cinematographer, to director, to screenwriter, you know, because nothing gets done without the screenwriter. And, you know, that's my passion, writing and producing. You know, I actually teach screenwriting at the University of Central Florida, and I teach intro
okay.
to screenwriting and advanced screenwriting. And, you know, that is the blueprint for the film. And, you know, once a screenwriter – If you want to go on the film, you have two roads. You can either write to sell or you can write to direct. And people really have to understand, you know, exactly what they want to do. I would probably start off, you know, writing to direct if you really want to, you know, get out there and have your work seen. Because right now it's a great time for independence. You know, there are so many different platforms that are opening up and they're all looking for content. You know, you look at Hulu, you look at Netflix, you look at, you know, Peacock, you look at, you know, HBO Max. All of these streaming platforms are opening up, and really, they're competing with Netflix because Netflix is like an empty box. You can just continue to shove content in there, and it never gets full. Whereas when you're dealing with the traditional networks, ABC, NBC, CBS, and Fox, there's a clock that they have to go by. And
right.
you know, if you have an hour, if you have an hour drama on a network, it's really not an hour drama. It's really 45 minutes of drama and then 15 minutes
mm-hmm.
of commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But again,
right.
if you
exactly.
go to a streaming platform, it's an empty box. So independence, now is a great time for you to not only write but also direct your work and try and get it picked up.
So when you're – I want to get into your mindset when it comes to writing. When you're writing, what is it that you're trying to direct or sell? How do you craft something to make it appealing that someone's going to want to use and take it to the next step?
Well, it all depends on what the networks are looking for. And if you know that you want to write something for HBO Max, write it for HBO Max. Don't write something and say this can go on any network because the networks have different audiences that they cater to. Some of the audience might have crossover, but each network is trying to really brand themselves as the this of TV or the that of TV. So what may be good for HBO Max may not be good for, let's say, you know, a Hulu or – you know, maybe network, you know, or something like that. So really do your homework and find out exactly what the networks are looking for.
So is it best to start off in a made-for-television film format before trying to do something for a larger screen?
You can. I would, you know, prime example, Issa Rae is a great example. She started
mm-hmm.
with a YouTube show called Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. And then it found a following. It found a following. And then from there, you know, she got a great opportunity to create her own show, Insecure, on HBO. So, you know, I tell everyone, this generation, there are so many opportunities for you to be successful right now. And I tell people, fail your way to success. You know, go out there, start something, you know, put it on YouTube, find an audience, and then from there, just, you know, if it's successful, people will find you. You won't have to worry about finding people.
We are here with Mr. Jason Gregory, who is the president of the Orlando Urban Film Festival. This year's film festival gets underway on Wednesday. We're going to talk more with Mr. Gregory when we come back. We're going to take a quick break. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hey, need your W-2s, 1099s, processed, printed, and mailed? Email us today at 1040@JavisTax.com, 1040@JavisTax.com, or call 803-419-1001, 803-419-1001.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking about the upcoming Orlando Urban Film Festival with its president, Mr. Jason Gregory. And so let's talk about a key component of getting these films up and running and exposed and everything, and that's funding. And you alluded to it a little bit about our market not necessarily being the greatest market to draw the funds to make these things happen. So let's talk about where do you go if it's not readily available?
Well, you know, again, I mentioned that, you know, a little earlier that, you know, this generation, they have so many resources available to them right now. Crowdfunding is really huge. If you make a film or you want to make a film, you put the information out there and it really resonates with a certain audience, they're going to support it, whether it's $5, $10, whether it's $5,000, you know, they will support it if they can, if they are familiar with the content. Other ways, you know, are self-funded. You know, when I made my project, my TV pilot, Waking Up White, you know, I did a mixture. I did self-funding, and then I also did crowdfunding because, you know, some producers want to see that you're going to take a risk on yourself if you really believe in your project. And then, of course, you know, you can go to family, you know, ask them to contribute as well. But you can also find investors. Who may be interested in your work, and, you know, give them a certain percentage on the back end, you know, if and when the project sells.
Okay, all right. So you basically have to have people who are not risk averse, you know, because there's a lot of ifs in there that I hear you say, you know, if it's successful, you know, if it, you know, gets here or there or whatever. So now, success, what determines success? Is there like a target audience in terms of numbers? Is it a target audience in terms of a sector of people? And I guess a lot of that depends on whatever it is that you're promoting or, you know, writing and promoting to get out there. But when you did yours, what were you looking for in order to consider it a successful project?
Well, again, it depends on your description of success. You know, for us, it was very well received by our audiences, and there are a couple of networks that are still looking at it right now. So to me, that's success. Because we broke through, we have the attention of networks, you know, we're still trying to get a production and distribution deal. And nothing happens overnight, you know, in Hollywood. And I think that's what a lot of people don't understand. They think, oh, okay, I'll just go ahead and do this, and then I'll just pick up the phone and I'll call Mr. Netflix or, you know, Mrs. Hulu, and, you know, they'll just pick it right up. And it doesn't work that way. There's a lot of hustle. There's a lot of struggle because there are so many more content creators that are out there that are looking to push their work as well. Now, again, I go back to what I said. Yes, there are a ton of streaming platforms and networks that are looking for content right now, but they're looking for the right content. They're not just going to throw any content on their platforms.
So how do you know, is it a more of a personal decision, or are there some fight night elements that tell you, yeah, keep going forward, or maybe I need to cut my losses?
It's really your internal hustle. Your internal hustle and, you know, how hungry you are. You know, some people make films for the joy of making films, you know, and some people, mm-hmm. you know, are making them because they really want to, you know, break through and become that next Spike Lee, that next Ava DuVernay, you know, something like that. But, you know, some people say, hey, I just want to make films on the weekend. And, you know, and I'm happy with that.
Okay. So it's a matter of determining, is it a hobby, or is this going to be your bread and butter, you know, is it your passion, basically?
Yeah, and I tell people, if you're passionate about something else, go do that. Don't waste your time. If you're more passionate about doing real estate than you are making films, go do real estate. Because while you're making films, you're always going to be thinking about real estate. You know, it's mm-hmm. funny. I went to an orientation session at FAMU College of Law one time because I was really considering going to law school. And they said, you know, you have to make sure that your family is on board with this because law school is going to be like your mistress. You're going to be with your family, but you're always going to be thinking about law school, you know, assignments due and things like that. And the same thing applies to this. If you really love real estate more than you love film, while you're doing film, you're always going to be thinking about real estate. So you're not going to be able to put your, you know, everything into it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. It's important, you know, because otherwise you're going to get frustrated easily. You're going to quit easily,
yeah.
or in an area that requires so much creativity. You know, you can't afford to get stifled, and if you're not passionate about it, you're going to get stifled. You know, it's not going to work. So,
right.
So,
yep, you're absolutely right.
Okay, so let me ask you about when you don't have the film festival. You know, that's, I guess, it's an annual event. Are there other related events? Are there other ways to draw attention to the film industry, to urban film, to you know, the industry in this area?
Well, I'll tell you, there are a number of film festivals that are here in Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, and fortunately, we are the only one that actually caters to the African-American community because we noticed that there was a void. So we kind of filled that void. With your other festivals like OFF, Orlando Film Festival, you know, it's a great festival, but it's more of a general market festival. You may not have as many minority submissions there. Florida Film
mm-hmm.
Festival, it's another fantastic film festival. It's been here for years. But you may not have as many minority content creators there. Here, we focus on we're kind of like an HBCU. We focus
okay.
on
yeah.
content creators of color, but we welcome everybody.
Right. I understand. I mean, because, you know, some of our work is very unique in hard to for some people, hard for them to grasp in terms of, you know, their taste and stuff like that. But it still needs to be out there
yeah.
and needs to be exposed. So tell me about who your eyes are on in terms of or what people should look out for in terms of this year's film festival.
Oh, wow. A lot of great content has come our way, you know, because this pandemic, you know, made people really think about what they wanted to do. So a lot of people said, you know what, I've always wanted to be a filmmaker. I've always wanted to be a screenwriter. During this pandemic, I'm not going to waste the time. I've got this time back. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to make my passion project. And that's what we have a lot of passion projects in here, whether it's a documentary. Which, you know, you'll see our documentaries on our Friday night doc block, or whether it's, you know, short films or, you know, feature films or student films or anything. You know, we have all of that, you know, Saturday, you know, running through the day from like 11 o'clock, I think, until about 6:30, 7 o'clock. So a lot of passion
mm-hmm.
projects.
You know, I the pandemic, I hate the bad part about it, but one of the things that I think there have been some blessings to come out of it, and that's one of the things that you were talking about, is that people have taken a second look at their lives and what their interests are and what's important and what they thought was important and are recalibrating. And so, you know, yeah, things that you used to say, I don't have time for, and you kind of, the pandemic set a lot of people down and say, well, you got some time now. What are you going to do with it? And, you know, some people, it's weird. I mean, I would get, when it first started, I'd get these strange Facebook messages, you know, don't you want to be friends type of thing. But I was like, no, don't you have like a cause or something that you want to invest some time in? You know, so people just handled it different ways. And I have to give kudos to the ones that decided, you know, they were going to go and actually follow their heart, I guess, so to speak, and make the best of it and make a new career for themselves. And kudos to those that went this direction as well. So.
Yeah. Seriously,
Please go ahead. Yes.
Yeah, I'm so happy to see that people are using this time wisely. You know, and again, and it's just not film. You know, some people have become, you know, great real estate agents. Some people have become, you know, great. I know, you know, a few people who actually decided to start their own cleaning business and focus on, you know, COVID-19 cleanup. You know, it's just people just got really passionate about their own goals during this pandemic because they said, hey, I'm not going to get this time back. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I'm going to go ahead and follow my dreams. And I know people who, you know, who have done very well in the stock market also, who had it not been for the pandemic, they would have never even thought about the stock market. But the numbers dropped so much that they said, hey, I can afford to actually buy some stock now.
That's true. That's so true. So
yeah.
Now you were talking about you teach, what is it, screenwriting 101?
Yes. Screenwriting.
So what is that?
Introductory.
No, so I was just wondering, what does that entail? What, if someone entering your class, what are they looking for? What can they expect?
Well, what I first have to explain to people is that this is not a class for directing. And people assume that screenwriting is just like what you see on the screen. I'm going to smash cut into this, and I'm going to, you know, give a mid shot, and then I'm going to, you know, cut away to this. And that's not screenwriting. That's directing. So screenwriting is just writing the story. And then, as I, you know, mentioned earlier, you either write to sell or you write to direct. So I teach my students the basics of screenwriting. You know, script format, three-act structure, and I get them away from what they see on TV, you know, and I'll have them look at a script and break down the script and sometimes read the script while they listen to the TV show or the film so that they can follow everything. And they'll see there are no camera directions in there. The director is responsible for those camera directions, not the screenwriter. So that's what we do for the intro class. And then for the advanced class, you know, well, for the intro class, I have them write like a 15-page short script. And then for the advanced class, I have them work on a 30-page either TV show, TV pilot, or a short film, no more than 30 pages. And I've actually created a new class, which is a pilot class, where I'm teaching people to write their own TV pilot to be sold. And what we're doing, we actually went through an exercise last week in my class where we identified four stories that we're going to write a pilot for, and we have everyone in the class involved in one of those stories. So we've created almost like a mini writer's room for them.
Okay. Now, well, I'll ask this question when we come back. I'm going to take our final break. We are here with Jason Gregory, who is the president of the Orlando Urban Film Festival that starts on Wednesday. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are talking the Orlando Urban Film Festival with Jason Gregory. Before we get to that, a couple of things. Tomorrow we will be talking about Laura with NY Natheri. So please don't miss our show at 11:30 tomorrow. And then Friday is Faith Friday, fourth Friday of the month. Pastor Hugh Harmon is going to be back with us. It's an interesting conversation you won't want to miss. And if you have any ideas or suggestions or things that you want us to look at, give us a heads up on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, and we'll be happy to look at it. In the meantime, if you have questions for Jason before we go, the number is 516-387-1944. So, Jason, what is it that you want to have as the biggest takeaway from this year's film festival, when people come and experience it and leave? What is it that you want to be the takeaway?
The takeaway is that I want them to know that there is a festival for them. You know, we focus on celebrating, elevating, and educating content creators of color. That's exactly what we stand for. And we want to invite folks to come back year after year. You know, we have a couple of people who put films in our film festival every single year. Now, you know, one year, it may not fit what we're looking for, but then another year, you know, it's fantastic, and we say, oh, yeah, definitely, you know, come on back. You know, so, you know, this is family, and we want them to, you know, to always think of us, of us like that. You know, I personally reach out to the filmmakers, you know, and speak with them. You know, we're actually doing filmmaker interviews all this week. You know, the filmmakers have my phone number. They have my email address. If they have questions, I'm more than happy to answer them for them. And, you know, just maybe even give them some advice on some things.
I want to go back to one thing that you said, because it won't leave my head. So I need to ask
okay.
you. So I'm a screenwriter, and I have my script and everything, and it, you know, it's looking pretty good and everything. And then you were talking about the screenwriter has nothing to do with the directions in terms of standing it. But I'm just curious, you're saying that it's the director. So do they work closely together? Because I'm sure when the screenwriter writes, in their head, they have a vision for how it's supposed to go or should go or they want it to go. You know, it's always good to have another set of eyes, obviously, and the director helps to process that. But do they work closely together, or do you just turn your stuff over and say, here?
Yeah, if you're a screenwriter looking to sell, you have to leave your ego at – you have to check your ego at the door. Because once you give that script to a director – then you're kind of like creating the blueprint, and they're building the house. So they will say,
okay.
"Oh, okay, I will determine if I want what type of if I determine I want a close up shot here, or if I determine I want a, you know, a smash cut or anything like that." Now again, if you're writing to direct, then you can put all the camera angles in there that you want, because you're going to direct it. But if a director gets a script and it has a bunch of camera angles in there, camera shots, they're going to send it right back. They're going to say, no, I can't do anything.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Well, that's good to know. I mean, because I don't think a lot of people, you know, that are novices or want to take their, you know, dip their, you know, hand in the pool and start to create a script, realize that they're kind of, I guess, almost empty nesting the thing at the end. You know, they're just letting it go and you know, it take root somewhere else. You know, and you just basically have done all you can do with it. You know, that's kind of unless you understand the process, that's kind of a difficult thing to do.
Yeah, you have to be willing to turn your baby over and say, here you go, take care of it, and thank you for my check.
Okay, all right, that's another way of looking at it. Okay, you know,
Some people make a great, great living at just writing screenplays. You know, there's a young lady that I know in California, and she writes maybe she will probably write about 3 or 4 screenplays a year, sell 2, and make 6 figures doing that.
Wow. So how do you determine, I mean, if you're doing it that way, let's say you're just doing it, and I hate to put it this way because it just sounds a little too cut and dry for me, but if you're doing it for the cash, just for the cash, how do you determine, how do you gauge what is going to be successful? You know, I mean, you have different trends, things change kind of, you know, and especially, who thought COVID was coming? That kind of change or skew the perspective on life and on what's funny and what's not funny and what, you know, what's going to be a tearjerker and what's not for a lot of people. So how do you judge what's going to be successful? And then also, too, I guess there's got to be some sort of timeline in terms of churning that out. How long do you hold on to something that you've written?
Well, let's first go back and say, you're not doing it for the cash. You're doing it for the passion. Just like, you know, you would work a job, you're doing it, you know, you may be doing that job for the passion. So screenwriting is a legitimate job just like anything else. So you're doing it for the passion, and some people just don't want to direct. They say, I just want to write, and that's cool. So you do that. Now, as far as like, you know, like how do you know what to write? You write what you're passionate about. I tell people to write what they know about or other what they want to know about. You know, I'm working on a piece right now, and I know nothing about anthropology, but I'm interested in anthropology. So I'm researching anthropology, you know, because my main character is an anthropologist. So, you know, write what interests you, you know, and don't worry about trends. Forrest Gump sat on the shelf for 20 years.
Oh, no, really?
Things aren't going to happen overnight.
God.
It's all about timing. It's all about timing. Mm-hmm. There are scripts that are being made right now that have sat on the shelves for years. Unless you have a producer, someone like a Kenya Barris or Ava DuVernay or something that's like really behind your script and they're like really pushing it, it's going to take some time to get made. And even if they're behind it pushing it, they may have other projects in front of it. So your script may not get made for like three, four years because they have other things in front of it.
Okay, so let me ask this because there's, you know, this concern about diversity in the industry. If you are writing something that has a cultural perspective, let's just put it that way, and do you worry about whether the mainstream industry is going to be accepting of it, or do you just try to pitch it, let's say, as more of an independent type of a film, or do you worry about that? You just write what you know, if this is what you feel called to do, do you just write it and then what? I guess that's what I'm trying to figure out. You know, I'm sure there's a lot of films out there that have, you know, this perspective from someone who's African-American, who's Hispanic, who's Asian or whatever, and it may not necessarily have automatic mainstream appeal. Do you worry about that?
No, you write what you are passionate about, and you go out there and you pitch it, you know. But just make sure that you are ready for your pitch, and make sure you have your pitch down. You know, if you get the opportunity to meet a producer, make sure you have your log line down, and then make sure you have a, which is part of your pitch, and then make sure you have a customized pitch for different levels of folks, you know. You have a pitch for investors. You have a pitch for, you know, for a director, you know, and, you know, just to make sure that, you know, there's interest there.
Do you get someone, let's say, do you maybe partner up with someone who's maybe good at the pitch? If you're not good at the pitch, maybe you're good at writing the story. Maybe you're an excellent story writer, but you're lousy pitching it. Do you partner up with someone to do the pitch for you, or is it all on you?
No, yeah, that's a great question. You bring in a, you know, a producer, you know, say, you know, I'm you know, the writer and executive producer, and this is my producer as well, and, you know, and let them pitch. You know, you have some people, it's skill sets. You write, they pitch. You know, if you watch Shonda Rhimes' masterclass, you know, she hates pitching. She says she's terrible at pitching, but she, you know, she does it because she knows it's necessary to the process. So you can either bring someone in, or you can really learn to pitch yourself. And no one knows your story like you do, so you are the best person to pitch it.
Right. I was curious about that just because there's a lot of times, for example, you know about certain things, you're passionate about certain things, you're passionate about the story, you're passionate about you know, the way things should look or whatever. If you're, let's say, a photographer, or you know, you're passionate about, you know, the sound effects, if you're into that, you know, but the thing about it is getting other people to buy in may not be your strong suit.
Yeah, if it's your project and you're passionate about it, you have to figure out a way to get them interested in it, or you're just going to frustrate yourself because you're going to say, no one understands my story. And it may just be like you didn't communicate the story the way that it needed to be communicated. So for those are weak in pitching, I would take some classes, you know, on pitching, on, you know, go to Toastmasters, anything like that, you know, just on communication, because you want to be able to tell your story. Unless you have a writing partner, and that writing partner can pitch it for you, or you bring in a producer, and the producer knows the story just as well as you do.
Okay. All right. So let's get back to the film festival. Wednesday, what time does it start?
Doors open at 6 p.m. and it goes until about 10 o'clock. It's going to be a great, great opening. Don't miss the first 15 minutes. I'm going to tell you that now.
And also, where do they get tickets in advance?
OrlandoUSF.com.
OrlandoUSF.com. And if someone has more intricate questions, you know, wanting to know more about maybe participating in the film festival versus just someone that wants to attend, or if they just need to get in contact with you, is there a way?
Yeah, they can email me at jason@OrlandoUrbanFilmFestival.com.
Okay, great, great. And we are going to post the information on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. Jason, thank you for indulging my ignorance.
giving us a little bit more insight.
Really appreciate it. And best of luck. God bless you on this endeavor. And, you know, looking forward to you doing it again every year. Thank you so much.
Thank you, G. I look forward to seeing you at the festival.
I'm going to make my best effort to be there, trust me. And thank you all for listening.
All right.
This has been G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment. Talk with you tomorrow. Until then, be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember all real power comes from God. Take care.